From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Covenant Theology. The text is verses 12 through 21 of chapter 5. In the preceding verses of the chapter, the Apostle Paul has set forth the glorious truth of the doctrine of justification by faith. Now he presents an exposition of the fundamental consequence of that doctrine. Dr. Cairns has emphasized the importance of understanding the connection between these verses and those which have preceded them. Implicit in the doctrine of justification by faith are a number of vital truths. The first is that all men are sinners. Sin came into the world because of Adam's disobedience, and this sin nature is passed on to all who are born in Adam's race. The second truth is that because of Adam's sin, all men are condemned to death, physical and spiritual. The good news of the gospel is that salvation is found in Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 32. Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Few had fellowship with the sorrows of Gethsemane. The majority of the disciples were not sufficiently advanced in grace to be admitted to behold the mysteries of the agony. Occupied with the Passover feast at their own houses, they represent the many who live upon the letter, but are mere babes as to the spirit of the gospel. To 12, nay, to 11 only, was the privilege given to enter Gethsemane and see this great sight. Out of the 11, 8 were left at a distance. They had fellowship, but not of that intimate sort to which men greatly beloved are admitted. Only 3 highly favored ones could approach the veil of our Lord's mysterious sorrow. Within that veil, even these must not intrude. A stone's cast distance must be left between. He must tread the winepress alone, and of the people there must be none with him. Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee represent the few eminent, experienced saints who may be written down as fathers. These, having done business on great waters, can in some degree measure the huge Atlantic waves of their Redeemer's passion. To some selected spirits it is given for the good of others, and to strengthen them for future special and tremendous conflict, to enter the inner circle and hear the pleadings of the suffering high priest. They have fellowship with him in his sufferings, and are made conformable unto his death. Yet even these cannot penetrate the secret places of the Savior's woe. Thine unknown sufferings is the remarkable expression of the Greek liturgy. There was an inner chamber in our Master's grief, shut out from human knowledge and fellowship. There Jesus is left alone. Here Jesus was more than ever an unspeakable gift. Is not Watts right when he sings, "And all the unknown joys he gives were bought with agonies unknown."
If I gain the world but had not Jesus, or all earthly pleasure.
grace-filled life. Oh, what emptiness without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him, only night and tears and endless woe.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
I'm sure you noticed as we were reading that verse 12 does not seem to lead to verse 13. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law. Some translations do what the Authorized Version has done here, and they put verse 13 through 17 in parentheses to let you know that Paul has not finished his thought in verse 12. Others will put a dash to show again this is an incomplete thought in verse 12. Here the proposition is commenced. Where does it finish? You go down to verse 18. And he says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so. Now here's where he gets to finish the thought that he was commencing in verse 12. You see, verse 12, wherefore, demands, and even so. Wherefore, as by one man, even so, verse 18, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And in a word, nutshell, that's what this great section is all about. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed through upon all men, because all sinned. Even so, by the righteousness of one man, Jesus Christ, as verse 18 puts it, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Today, we will have time only to deal with the first part of that, the imputation of Adam's sin and its results. You'll be delighted to know that I really have just 2 points. Of course, under one of them particularly, I might have one or two other things to say. But I've just 2 main things to state here. Verse 12, the beginning of the verse. The entrance of sin into the world was by the sin of one man, namely Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now here's something I don't want to take a lot of time on, for I don't have a lot of time. But nonetheless, it's vitally important. The reference here is clearly to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see what that means. Paul is constructing for us in Romans the most theological, the most definitive, and therefore in many ways the most important exposition of the things that really matter. Our standing with God, how to be right with God, how to have sin and guilt dealt with, how to be accepted at the throne of God, how to be secure for heaven for all eternity. That's what he's dealing with. But he bases it all on Genesis chapter 3. He goes back to that third chapter of Genesis, and he takes the story of Adam and Eve literally. Adam was not an ideal man. Adam was a real man. The story of Adam is not some poetic or mythological creation of ancient writers to convey some moral truth. If that were so, the whole gospel collapses. He's going back to Genesis. And just as the Lord Jesus did in the Gospel of Matthew, when he was teaching on marriage and the sanctity of marriage and divorce and things of that nature, he did the very same thing. He went right back to Adam and Eve. You see, here's a vivid reminder that you cannot reject, you cannot alter the story of creation and the fall without affecting much more, including the doctrine of salvation as it's set in the Word of God. In other words, if the first Adam is a myth, then where is the use of Paul insisting, as he does insist in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ is the last Adam? Where's the use of that? If the first man never existed, but as evolutionists and theistic evolutionists would have us believe that somehow or other we have all come from the Lord only knows what, but the first man is only a mythological, literary creation, then what is the use of Paul identifying Christ as the second man, the Lord from heaven? You see, there are two great public characters in Scripture. The first Adam and the last Adam. Adam, our first father, Christ, our only Redeemer. Two great public characters in whom are comprehended the souls of all men and the destinies of all men. So he goes back to Genesis. He said, this is what happened, exactly as Moses wrote it. Adam sinned. And when he sinned not only as an individual, he obviously did that, but he sinned as a public person. By that I mean through his first sin, sin entered into the world. Now that is easy to say, but it's actually something that sounds very strange. There was sin in the world before Adam sinned. The devil had already sinned, and his angels. But not only so, Eve had sinned before Adam sinned. And yet we are told that it was Adam through whom sin entered the world. And obviously it's talking about the human world, the world of men and their environment. It was through Adam that sin entered into the world, because Adam, not Eve, was the head of the human race. Eve's sin affected none but herself. When Eve sinned and she came to Adam, he was still in his original righteousness. Her sin did not make him a sinner. To that point, her sin had affected no one but herself. But Adam's sin immediately affected all subsequent humanity. Paul describes Adam's sin as sin. The word, the missing of the mark. Not an accidental missing of the mark while he's trying to hit the mark, but a deliberate missing of the mark. He describes it as an offense, as it's translated here. The word indicates a fall, by which his relationship with God was disrupted and ruined. And he describes it as a disobedience, by which he became a lawbreaker. This was Adam's sin. Adam missed the mark. Adam fell. Adam disobeyed. But it didn't stop there. Through Adam, sin entered. The Greek text has the definite article. The sin entered. That is, the evil principle of rebellion against God entered the stream of humanity. It invaded humanity, corrupting all men, depraving all men, and alienating all men from God. This is the origin of all the wickedness that Paul has already been dealing with in this great book of Romans. You remember right back at the first chapter in verse 18, he speaks of the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. And then he goes on to say that these people, when they knew God, glorified Him not as God. They were not thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They became idolaters. They became immoral. And he goes down the list of uncleannesses, vileness, filthiness, the things that brought the wrath of God upon the world. Again and again. Right into chapter 3, in that great section in which he concludes the whole world guilty. He says, there's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. The throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's the summary of the world. And where did it all start? It all commenced with Adam. That one sin is the source of all human sin. And to that one sin of Adam is attributable the spread of sin and wickedness in all its forms throughout the world. Now, if that were all that the Word of God said in the subject, we would conclude that we inherited from Adam a sinful nature, which of course is true. But if this is all that was said, we would conclude that's the only truth. That we inherited a sinful and depraved and corrupted nature, because of which we were judged guilty. In other words, we're condemned because of our own acts of sin. There are many people who interpret Romans 5 that way. So you see, Paul's teaching here is hard for a lot of people to swallow. And they insist on this individuality. They insist that the only sin for which God condemns man is their own act of sin. But I hope you paid attention when we were reading Romans 5. Because that's not what Paul's teaching. He's saying something very different. And he's saying something very much more radical. Which leads me to the second great truth then. Not only the entrance of sin into the world was by the sin of one man, Adam, but the sentence on Adam's sin. Now follow what I'm saying here. God's sentence on Adam's sin was death for all men. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed. The idea is death entered by sin, and death passed through down unto all men individually by that sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, You may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.